Hi, I'm Larry London, and we welcome you to Border Crossings. In our studios today is an artist who is from New York, and he's known for a style of music you wouldn't think, which would be common in New York. We'd like to welcome Louis Atlas to the Voice of America in D.C. Reggae, Louis. Yes. Of all kinds of music, reggae. How did you come across reggae music?
Yes, well, good story. Long story, but not too long. I was a rock musician, mm-hmm. and also I did some Broadway singing, things like that. And then I visited Jamaica, mm-hmm. and it got into my blood. And I was listening, when I was in Jamaica, I was listening to basically rhythm and blues and soul music and rock music, mm-hmm. you know, just hanging out on the beach, you know. It was in the early 80s. But I heard the reggae music in the background on the transportation. It sort of got into my system. So when I get back up to New York, I'm going, yeah, you know, this stuff really, I got something in my soul about this. I don't know what it is exactly. I started investigating it more, you know, getting mm-hmm. into it, listening to as much of it as I could, finding the radio stations, finding the people in town who played it, mm-hmm. just really, really getting into it. And then one day, this is a revelation, I was on a beach, actually on Long Island, and it was a beautiful day. And I had my headphones on. And I turned on Bob Marley's album called Kaya. And the first song on that album is called Easy Skankin'. It goes, Easy Skankin', Easy Skankin'. And he's got the I3s in the back. The I3s are the three women who sang with him. Mm-hmm. And he's got the whole band going. And I listened to it. And I literally, Larry, I just stood there and I went, oh, my goodness. And something exploded in me. It was like, I would say that was the only time in my life that something like that ever happened mm-hmm. to that extent. And I just said, wow. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Hmm.
And then I started listening and I started playing it and I started trying to learn how to play it, basically. Mm-hmm. Not actually learn the chords. Musically, it's not that complicated. It's just feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't learn how to feel. You either feel it or you don't feel it. I've played with a lot of people since then. Great musicians. But you have to feel reggae music. It's not mm. something you can actually learn to feel. And on that note, I'm not sure that anything is you can learn to feel. But with music, especially, mm-hmm. when you get it into you and you feel like you really know it, and I felt like I really kind of knew it, mm-hmm. so I felt brave enough to play it. And then I started playing it, and one thing led to another. And then I played covers. I played in a couple of bands. You know, I was leading the band. I've always been a singer, so I was leading the band. We were playing a lot of cover tunes. And then one day we were doing a benefit album for children with AIDS at the great recording studio in New York called the Power Station.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do a cover. And I said, you know, why am I doing a cover? Why don't I just write a song? And I came up with my first tune. And then I just started writing songs and recording records and found a great producer who was really into the genre, really knew his stuff. Who I really bonded with, not only from the reggae background that he had and that I was into, but also he was into pop, which I was also into.
Mm-hmm.
And my songs are reggae influenced, inspired with my own pop, pop flavor to it,
mm-hmm.
because it just comes from me.
Right.
You know, I can't, at the beginning I would try to, you know, emulate or copy, you know, the reggae sound, but you really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was just in Jamaica, and I mean, another revelation came to me that, yeah, you know, I hear this music, and I know it really well, and my stuff is really like this, but it's not quite like it, but I still play with bona fide reggae people, and everybody loves it, and I do well with audiences. I do well with all kinds of audiences, West Indian, American, you know,
that's
European.
Great.
So it's been really, you know, artistically, the most gratifying thing I've done in my life.
Mm. And you have only released reggae albums, I understand?
Yeah, yeah. I have, my fourth one just came out,
mm-hmm.
Actually last week. I did a show in New York.
Is that Coconut Dream?
Coconut Dream, yes. Mm-hmm. That was last Friday. I released it, did a show
mm-hmm.
In New York. And that is, yes, that's basically reggae songs, reggae music. The three before also were the same, not the same songs, obviously, but the same type of music.
Right, right. Sure.
It has evolved a bit over the time.
Mm-hmm.
I did my first album was Beat of the Heart, mm-hmm. and then I did a album Citizen of NYC, which has a song on it coming out of 9/11. Mm-hmm. The whole what happened there, and I was in New York at the time, and it had a very emotional impact on me and everybody else, obviously all over the world. So I wanted to write a song about that, and then I did a song called an album called Arms of Heaven. And then I just did Coconut Dream, and now I'm writing for my next one. I just want to keep writing, and I love to write. I love to perform. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about Coconut Dream.
All right, we're going to get you to sing a song for us.
Sure, sure.
So we can get to the suspense which has built up now to hear Louis Atlas perform.
Yeah, sure, sure. Though, so the title song is Coconut Dream, right? And I'll do a little acoustic rendition of that. Okay?
All right.
When I get lonely, longing for you. When I get thirsty, there's something to do. Rub it all over, from head to toes, as the aroma drifts up your nose. Coconut candy, coconut cream, it's really dandy, a coconut dream. Coconut water, fresh from the vine, makes you feel stronger, makes you feel fine. I tumble out of bed, pick up some steam, round out the edges, you know what I mean. It's in the sunshine, it's in the air, it's on my skin, it's in my hair. Coconut candy, coconut cream, it's really a dandy, it's a coconut dream. Coconut water, fresh from the vine, makes you feel stronger, makes you feel fine. Coconut cream, it's really a dandy, a coconut dream. Coconut water, fresh from the vine, makes you feel stronger, makes you feel fine. I'm in a coconut dream, dreaming coconuts. I'm in the coconut dream, I'm dreaming coconuts, a coconut dream, a coconut dream, I'm in a coconut dream.
Yes, Louis Atlas, our guest here on The Voice of America, title track to the new album Coconut Dream. Now, it's got to be a little bit more challenging for somebody who didn't grow up on an island in the Caribbean.
Except I did on Manhattan.
Long Island, far from the Caribbean.
Long Island, right.
And so, but to write songs about island life, which, I mean, you know, it couldn't be any further from New York and the noise and the buildings and the, you know, hustle bustle of New York, which is totally opposite of what the world of reggae is all about. Bob Marley was very laid back, man.
Interesting. not necessarily true.
No? Okay.
I wouldn't characterize Bob Marley as being laid back.
No?
No. Certainly his music was, but if you listen to the lyrics of the music, it's quite intense.
Okay.
But this is the reggae thing. You know, reggae is very laid back, but you listen to the message.
Mm-hmm.
It's spiritual. It's social.
Mm-hmm.
It's political. It's humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything that's wound into it, which is very Jamaican, and also it's very New York. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a difference, certainly, on the outside of what you see. You know, you think everybody's laid back. But I wouldn't say that Jamaicans are necessarily laid back, mm-hmm. nor are New Yorkers laid back. But they can be. I'm a New Yorker.
Are you?
I'm fairly laid back sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. But I think that what I write, when I write, I write about my life, basically. Mm-hmm. And the way that it comes out in reggae because that's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, Coconut Dream, that particular tune, Coconut Dream, is, yeah, I think that my recollection is that I was remembering my times in Jamaica and drinking coconut water, which is unbelievably good for you and very nourishing. And when I'm down in Jamaica, I usually just grab a coconut, split it open, yeah, man, just take the water right out of it. It'll make you strong. It'll make you really, really feel good. Terrific stuff. But I did write it in New York, you know, and it was one of those dreamy moments when I was thinking, yeah, wow, it's great. I love coconut. Mm-hmm. Let me put it down. And like everything else, it kind of came to me and it came out. But then, like, Coconut Dream, for instance, has some love songs in it or longing songs, which is the next one I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out of my present state of romantic interest, which is very intense now. You know, and I feel very blessed and lucky that I feel that way now with this lady that I'm now involved with, and she inspired her. Well, she did inspire, and my relationship with her inspired a number of songs on that album, Gonna Dream. Also, there's a number of political songs on there, and because of the political situation. And the social situation and the cultural situation in the U.S., I guess actually all over the world, I was inspired by that.
The headlines give the songwriters a lot of inspiration these days. There's a lot to write about.
Right. And just kind of just a general feel, the what's going on. And so it's something that I'm very dedicated to and determined to translate into.
Was it always music for you? I mean, you were singing at 7, I guess, from what I read. You were singing from a very early age. Did you always know this was the path you wanted to be on, or how did this come about?
You know, since I was born, I've been singing. I had a capacity to remember and feel lyrics and music. And at times it surprised me. I remember when I was very young. How old was I? I was young. I was about 10. I came to I went to see a show in New York with my dad. And I saw it once. I came back, and for some reason, I could remember the songs and the lyrics to the song. And that's kind of the way it's been for me. I'm very, and you know, this is not something that I created. I've just been very lucky to be able to hear songs the first time and hear what's going on, and being able to know the lyrics or at least know some of the lyrics and know how it goes after I hear it for one or maybe two times. It helped me a lot when I was when I was on the stage as well, too, because I was a very fast learner and I could, assimilate all this stuff very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say that there's very many moments in my life where there isn't some music playing in my head.
Hmm.
I used to entertain myself when I was a child just by saying, oh, so let me see. Now, I think I'll listen to this record. And I put it on in my head and I could do the whole thing. You know, there's nothing like it. I don't know where it comes from, and I'm not going to even try to figure it out. Mm. But I just feel I'm so grateful and blessed, and I feel so lucky to be able to feel that, because it really drives my life. You know,
it's an interesting choice, reggae being the interesting choice, because for whatever reason, and I had UB40 on recently,
right,
and so. Just talking about how in England and in Europe and in the Caribbean and other parts of the world, reggae music is very, very mainstream and popular. But here in the United States, not so much. It's
never
a tougher style of music.
Yeah, you know, that's very interesting. And I've had a number of conversations with people about this. And, You know, I think that it has to do with the what they call the one drop, which is the beat on the third beat, the snare on the third beat, and also the 2/4 syncopated rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
That's different from rock and roll, which is basically 4/4 generally. Mm-hmm. Bum 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 bum. You hear the drums, mm-hmm. and I've noticed that you can tell how the audience is doing as to how they feel about moving to it. You mm-hmm. know. If they have a little trouble moving to it, they're having a little trouble understanding it, because it does bring up different ways of moving, mm-hmm. and it's not typically what we have here in terms of music. And I don't know. It's strange because reggae music really came from American music. It came from rhythm and blues. It came from Sam Cooke.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sam Cooke, you know. Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. That would be the reggae version of it, right?
Right.
And Sam Cooke actually did a couple of reggae songs. And when he was broadcasting from the States, the Jamaicans were hearing this stuff and hearing the rhythm and blues come out mm-hmm. here. Brooke Benton.
Sure.
And that's sort of drove Jamaicans into playing some of this stuff. At least that's the legend. Of course, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But that's the way certainly with Bob Marley, he attributes that.
Right, right.
You know, to the American music. So you're right. It's kind of strange because in England and in Spain and in France and in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Japan is an interesting thing. I have mm-hmm. a keyboard player who plays with me.
Oh, okay.
Who is Japanese. She's incredible. Her name is Aya Kato. Aya. And she's actually going on tour in China. So I'm going to lose her for a couple of months, which I'm not happy about, but she'll be back. Japanese love reggae and they love to be in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a strange thing too, because also reggae is very, very, much more structured than it looks, than it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's very orchestrated and you have to play the parts right. I mean, you can slip up for sure, but for instance, the mainstay of the bass in reggae is the doubling of the lead guitar. So when you hear the bass, the lead guitar plays the same notes as the bass, but plays it on the guitar.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that gives it the bottom, that gives it the lock of the beat. So that's really the main thing. If you have a good bass player and drummer, just like any other band,
sure,
that'll keep it going, and the lead guitar player really adds to it by locking it in with doing the same pattern as the bass player. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
We've got Lewis Hatless in our studios. Coconut Dream is the name of the new album. Would you do another song for us?
Sure, sure. This is kind of the longing of love. What have you done? Turn me inside out. It isn't fun being left with only doubt. The days go by, the nights go by. I sit alone at home and cry for you. And there's no denying, you're drifting further away from me. You're drifting further away from me. Mm-hmm. It isn't right that I should be in such a state. Makes me uptight to leave it up to fate. The more that I wonder what it's all about, the less that I can figure out it's true. 'Cause it's plain to see that you're drifting further away from me. You're drifting further away from me.
So I guess I'll keep hoping that I pull the rabbit from the hat once more and forget that you're drifting further away from me. You're drifting further away from me. You're drifting further away from me. Why are you drifting further away from me? Drifting further away from me.
Very nice. Very, very nice. A little painful, but very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, every time I sing that song, I remember, well, yeah, that was the longing of the love. And that's when the love wasn't there. And then the love came back, you know, just like everybody's life, mm-hmm. you know. And I was like thinking I was losing her, mm-hmm. basically. And played it, and every time I play it, I think I actually can remember when I wrote it, where I was sitting, what I was thinking. And I kind of go back there in my mind because it's one of those songs that it just came out, you know, it just basically wrote itself in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And I played it, I sent it to my producer, and his wife actually said, "Wow, that's a really good song." And just so everybody knows that the way that I'm playing it is really not the way it sounds on the record, just like Coconut Dream, because I'm doing an acoustic version of it, mm-hmm. which is different from the way that it sounds. It's very produced, and it has that. It's more like.
What have you done? Turn me inside out.
It's different, mm-hmm. but. On Bob Marley's record, Songs of Freedom, he does mm-hmm. an acoustic medley mm-hmm. of songs that have been produced with the full band. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the way he does it, and he does it completely different. Because with an acoustic guitar, you can't really give it justice.
Right.
So I can play folk music, and I can play rock music. I can strum. I can do that. And that works for that genre. But for reggae, if you're just doing the chops mm-hmm. without a little bit more, you're going to kind of lose the thrust of what's going on mm-hmm. because the bass and the drums, as you pointed out, Larry, mm-hmm. are very important.
Mm-hmm. So
essential.
When you're on tour and you have the whole band,
right.
have you had a chance to perform in Jamaica? I mean, have you, you know, done shows there? Or?
Interestingly, I was just down there and I performed acoustically in Jamaica.
Mm, just like this?
Yeah, just like this. Although... Mm-hmm. I had a percussion player mm-hmm. and I had another guitar player down there, so it was a little bit fuller. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't do it this way because it was outside as well, mm-hmm. you know. And it was acoustic, so I would play I'd play Bob.
Long time we don't have no nice time. Do you yeah? Think about that.
That's a Bob Marley tune, right?
Right, right.
So I would play it like that, and then everybody would join in, and everybody'd sing, because it's... I also did some Sam Cooke songs down there as well. And Sam Cooke, you know, I really am pursuing that Sam Cooke connection. Want to do maybe some Sam Cooke covers, too.
That would be great.
Yeah.
An album of Sam Cooke.
With
reggae flavor.
Because it's all called Sam Cooked.
Sam Cooked. I like it. See, look at that. We got new ideas. New ideas. Well, we have time for one more song.
Sure.
And what's this going to be?
This is a song off my first record, which is a really spiritual song for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called "Praise on High," and it's I'll give it
goes like this.
Goes like this.
I took a walk across the island. I met a man and he was smiling. I told him it just wasn't right when people were caught in a fight. He opened his eyes, turned his head. He looked at me close and he said, give praise on high for every day we're living. And be thankful for everything we're given. I said he didn't understand me. With people struggling just to be free. There's war and there's violence around. Distrust and hatred abound. Our brothers and sisters in chains. The world is just going insane. He said, give praise on high for every day we're living. And be thankful for everything we're given. Give praise on high for every day we're living. And be thankful for everything we're given. What is the answer? What is the question? Why is suspicion running high? Liberation, what is the source? Confusion charting the course. On the road to the dream of tomorrow, where will this lead? I thought my words were mistaken. Their meaning clearly mistaken. Got up and shuffled away, preparing to meet a new day. But echoing round in my head were only the words that he'd said. He said, give praise on high for every day we're living. And be thankful for everything we're given. Give praise on high for every day we're living. And be thankful for everything we're given. Give praise.
There you go, Lewis Atlas. Very inspirational.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Nice to have you here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Coconut Dream is the name of the album. If people want to find out more about the album, your tour, where do they go?
Well, I'm Lewis Atlas Music on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I have Lewis Atlas .com. Mm-hmm. You can get the record on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes, CD Baby. It's on Spotify. Mm-hmm. You want to listen to it. It's available. It's out there. It's ready to go, ready to pick up, ready
and
to listen to.
All summer long?
I'm sorry?
Your tour is going to
be out this summer. I have a really nice gig coming up. One I can tell you on June 19th, mm-hmm. with a singer from Jamaica by the name of Sister Carol, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. at a really nice venue out on Long Island called My Father's Place. And then we'll be around New England. We'll be around Pennsylvania, New York, maybe down south. So things are
jumping. Out of the country? Are you going internationally?
Not this year. Not yet.
All right. You never know. Things come up.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you here.
Thanks a lot, Larry.
Lewis Atlas, and it's Coconut Dream. My name is Larry London. You're tuned to Border Crossings. Thank you very much for joining us on Border Crossings today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And today's lucky listener of the day, by the way, before I head out the door, I want to give away that Avicii CD. Today's lucky listener of the day will be decided tomorrow on the program. I'll give away two CDs tomorrow, two of the new Avicii CDs coming your way on Wednesday show. So make sure you're with us. And speaking of winning CDs, don't forget that Nikki Strong is giving away the Now That's What I Call Country album on Fridays at 2200 Universal on the VOA 1 network. And you can enter on her Facebook page at VOA 1 The Hits. Thank you, Vince, our producer today, and Wagner, our engineer, and thank you for listening to Border Crossings. My name's Larry London. Also, thanks to Lewis Atlas for joining us. I'll see you tomorrow, right here on the VOA 1 Music Network.